Is it ever not the right time to talk Oregon football? Yeah, I thought so. Our guest, the first-timer, provides a ton of terrific information for Duck Digest on Fan Nation, part of the Sports Illustrated family. He's done a lot, called high school games in Montana. He now calls Bend home. Let's welcome in Mark Lance. Mark, great having you. How's life in that delightful part of our state?
Thanks, Steve. My pleasure in joining you. Thanks for including me. You know, Bend is great. We got a lot of people moving in, which to some people may not think it's great, but, you know, Bend's a great place. And I tell you, the number of Duck fans that I see, you know, even now wandering around in 100-degree heat with Duck jerseys on and stuff, you know, it's very impressive.
So I gave a little bit of info, but as a first-time guest, I'd like some true background. For example, if somebody said, how did you become a sports fan, Steve? Born and raised in North Jersey, late 60s, early 70s, New York diehard, you know, Namath, Walt Frazier, Lawrence Taylor. So where do you hail from? And kind of give me your era. What were the teams and players that made you a big-time sports fan?
I grew up in Montana, specifically Billings, and what was difficult about that really is obviously no professional teams, and certainly none really in the area, because this was long before expansion in the NFL. My interest in sports was based on what Sunday NFL games the network showed in Billings, Montana, and it turned out to be the Green Bay Packers.
Huh.
So, growing up, you know, glued to the TV, I still remember, you know, screaming my head off in the family room when Bart Starr, you know, scored on the quarterback sneak to beat Dallas, and that was really the start. Loved to play all the sports. Turned out that actually baseball was the one I seemed to be a little better at. Unfortunately, some knee problems cut my career short, but just kind of further, you know, flame the interest in sports. And I knew I wanted to work in radio when I graduated high school. And so attended a little place in Minneapolis called Brown Institute. And from there started working small town radio stations like most guys do. But I tell you, I had a mentor at the first place I worked. He was the sports director. And he did all the play-by-play, or 90% of the play-by-play. But he just really taught me how to be a professional in terms of, you know, talking and writing about sports. He was one of the most prepared people I've ever known. And he decided that he was going to focus on covering baseball. Longer story short, he ended up with the AAA Iowa Cubs doing the play-by-play, and was so ingrained in the Cubs organization that when they won the World Series, they gave him a World Series.
Wow. That's awesome. So, you got to love that.
Yeah. Pardon me?
I said, you got to love that. I mean,
absolutely.
After 108 years, well done.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want to get to your most recent piece. So we know that Bo Nix came here, two incredible seasons, Heisman finalist, first round pick. But now it's Dylan Gabriel, Oklahoma via Central Florida. You mentioned all the stats, 125 touchdown passes, almost 15,000 yards. So you covered it well, from the arsenal at his disposal to his play recently at the Elite 11 camp. You know, what makes you think that Gabriel's going to be the next guy to do big things here?
Well, certainly the stats, you know, support the fact that he's a guy that can produce. What I really like is the relationship that he's already developed with the coaching staff, and you know the fact that he's got, you know, he's not coming in as a freshman, obviously, and you know to have the opportunity to work with Stein. I mean, I think that's amazing. We've written a little bit about that relationship and how Stein kind of looks at that. And, you know, his comment was, it's like taking a graduate student and trying to teach them basic algebra. You know, you're way past that. And I think that's where Gabriel comes in. You know, he's had a good career, UCF, Oklahoma, put up good numbers. And then to come into a situation in Oregon where, as you noted, tons of weapons available to them, and a smart guy, somebody who's already shown, you know, that he's a leader. And I guess from what I've heard, he's got a pretty good sense of humor. He's a funny guy. So, you know, he's come in a relatively short period of time, you know, won his teammates over and have their confidence. You know, the coaches are certainly, you know, extremely high on his potential. But it's like, you know, they say, you don't play the game on a piece of paper; it's on the field. We saw some of his talent during the spring game, you know, where I thought he played pretty well. So yeah, there's just, you know, any number of reasons why this could be just another great quarterback in the Ducks history.
Talking with Mark Lance, Duck Digest, you know, normally we look at the schedule and kind of know every team except the three non-conference games, but those days are gone because we're not in the Pac-12 anymore. You know, they have Idaho, Boise State's always pesky, then the trip to Corvallis. So as you wrote, the current landscape offers challenges for a proper evaluation. What did you discover about the Ducks' schedule?
Well, it's interesting because I've looked at it from a number of different ways. And I think, you know, you've got the big games, obviously. One of the recent pieces we wrote talked about the game against Ohio State that's coming up in October, and that what's the guy's name? Feinbaum.
Yeah.
You know, thinks that could be one of the biggest games of the year. So, you know, but when you look at the schedule in the entirety, I think it's pretty good in that, obviously, they get Ohio State at home. They're going to be on the road against Michigan, but, you know, I think the biggest issue there is, do they overlook, you know, the teams they play right before they play Michigan? You know, that's kind of a trap situation. You're looking ahead to the 100 and some thousand screaming fans, you know, in Ann Arbor. But I think the schedule works well. I think, you know, and not to say all the games are going to be easy or whatnot, but I just think that it sets up well. You know, seasons long, people get, you know, dinged up. So any chance to rest or give them a little break is going to be an advantage. And I think that schedule does play to Oregon's favor this year.
You know, a specific player you covered is a guy I absolutely have in my spotlight, Jordan James, the running back. As a freshman in 2022, he was kind of the short yardage guy. Then Noah Whittington got hurt last year. He was thrust into a more substantial role. Seems he's generating a little bit of a buzz for this year. What did you discover, I guess, about how others see his potential for this year?
I think he's been tabbed by several, you know, different sources, sports writers, you know, networks, that kind of thing, as the guy that, you know, very well could have a breakout year. You know, last year split carries to some degree with Bucky Irving. Now that Bucky's gone, you know, Jordan kind of, you know, moves into that spot. I think one of the questions is with the injury last year to Whittington. You know, is he healthy? You know, how much, you know, how can you rely on him, you know, to be a big force in the backfield? And I think he probably will be okay from what I've heard. But, you know, when you got a guy like Jordan, you know, his stats were just off the charts. I mean, who rushes for 7.09 yards per carry?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care who you're playing, you know, that's a tremendous number. 11 touchdowns, you know, ranked nationally with those stats as well. You know, Dan Lanning at one point was asked, you know, about Jordan. And I really like the quote. He said, I think Jordan is running like an angry guy, which is exactly how you want your running back to run. So, you know, you've got somebody there who's stepped up and ready to take the mantle, if you will. and you know, and they've got some other folks. But there is, you know, that does bring up a question, and I think this goes back quite a few years with the Ducks, and it applies to quarterback position as well as the running backs. But you know, how much of the success is scheme related? You know, obviously you've got talented athletes. There's no question, but do you have a system, you know, that makes them look better, for lack of a better word or a better phrase, due to the system that you're running? And, you know, who knows? I mean, that kind of remains to be seen. But, you know, the running back room is certainly not without without talent, because you add in Jay Harris, who I thought had a really good spring game for what that's worth. But that's just another weapon that the Ducks are going to have this year.
Couple final thoughts for Mark of Duck Digest. As someone who's followed the game for many years, we know most of history, you know, the geography made sense. But, you know, Rutgers, New Jersey, and USC, California in the same league is just nuts. Just kind of your thoughts as an observer on the collapse of what I think is the greatest conference ever, the Pac-12, and kind of this new landscape of college sports.
You know, it's such an interesting time, and being kind of old school, in a lot of ways. But as it relates to sports, and I get the fact, you know, you look at Major League Baseball and free agency, and you know, for now a number of years, there's been this conversation about, you know, paying college athletes, and now here we are with the NIL money, and you've got the realignment, you know, all across the country. And like you pointed out, some really ridiculous, you know, geographical situations. But again, as old school, you know, you got used to, you know, who was on your team that you followed, you know, and now I feel like whether it's the NFL or now with the NIL and the transfer portal, you know, I'm not sure in the college game either, if you can really, you know who's going to be on your roster from year to year. I think that it was Chip Kelly who forwarded the notion, you know, that you kind of scrap what you have now and you put together, you know, a more sane situation, if you will. So you don't have USC, you know, flying across country to play Rutgers, that kind of thing. You do more of a geographical, you know, and I think that has some merit. But the other part of it too is, You've got football players, and it's not like, you know, a baseball team where you play two or three games in a week or whatever it might be. So there's a lot more stress on the body, and your recovery times and so forth are different. But it's a matter of finding the best way, you know, to kind of appease, you know, all the involved parties. And from a fan standpoint, I'll be honest, it drives me crazy. You know, I don't regret, or I don't feel badly for, you know, for anybody in the situation with the NIL money and that kind of a thing. But it would be nice if it made just, you know, a little more sense. And I guess what scares me the most is, you know, we're talking, I guess, another 2 years from what I'm hearing, we're going to have a realignment again, another big realignment. You know, and who knows what's going to happen at that point. Well, and it's too bad. You know, you lose some of the rivalries. You know, I think Oregon and Oregon State have agreed they'd like to play every year. But, you know, I don't know if that's doable or not. And losing stuff like that to us old guys, you know, is, you know, you like the traditions, right? You like the rivalry games. And having Oregon and Oregon State playing in September, wait a minute, they play after Thanksgiving. What's going on here?
Yeah, well, you said you wanted to have it make sense. Well, Mark, I dare I say it's more about making dollars, if that makes sense. The last thing is, I just realized within the last couple days, you wrote about Justin Herbert. And, of course, here in Eugene, all of a sudden now, there's a bunch of Chargers fans. Justin coming off the injury, he finally got out there with the recent OTAs. So you wrote about it. Feels like he's already made some big strides with his new coach and new system.
Yeah, and that's key. I was, and you know, I kind of knew his story, but, you know, until you kind of really dig into it. But, you know, his fate isn't all that different from some others and from some other Oregon quarterbacks as well. But it's that, you know, things you have no control over. He's had, what, three head coaches now in his what, 4 or 5 years, whatever he's been in the league, and different offensive coordinators. And, you know, but this guy seems to roll with the punches. You know, he hasn't played poorly in the past, but certainly, you know, if you come into, you know, the OTAs and, you know, spring ball and whatnot, and you've got to learn a whole new offensive system, it's got to be tough. So, you know, he's demonstrated that he's a leader, and hopefully for him and for his fans, you know, this change in coaches will be a benefit to him. But he's, you know, he's got all the tools. You know, he's a really competitive guy, and well, we know that. We tried to play through the injury last year that, you know, that didn't work out well. But no, I think he's poised to have a big year. And you know, when you got to go up against you know Patrick Mahomes and, you know, some of these other guys, it's like you better bring your A game, because you're going
to
need it.
Yeah, not to mention he had three coaches here at Oregon.
Right.
Folks, he's Mark Lance, Duck Digest Fan Network, part of the Sports Illustrated coverage, provides a ton of information and content for Oregon fans, which includes info about products and more. Kind enough to join us on the show. Mark, greatly appreciate the time, the insight, wishing you well, and I look forward to talking again as the season approaches.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy.